I don't know about you, but I think, I believe and think that the internet should be a safer place. Well, what if I told you that there's a tool that can do just that? A safer internet where you don't have to monitor every single thing that your kids do or that you stumble across, whether it's a fake site or not a fake site. This tool is called BlockP. It blocks adult websites, but also blocks those fake websites that you might say, hey, this domain is for sale, and hackers try to hack all that information or try to scam people out of the information. It also protects, and it uses AI to protect against other malicious stuff and other garbage that people may stumble across the web. And you know, I thought to myself the other day, why is the internet not a safer place? Well, it's because there's money involved, and some kind of certain content drives more money. Everything has to do with money. And what I like about this tool is that it uses AI to built into the tool, so there's no false positives, and it's the only tool that lets you password set a Chrome extension or even or an Android app settings, etc., so you can bypass it easily. Give it a try. Go to BlockP and download on Google Play or iOS or in your web browser on whatever web browser you use, and let them know what you think of the tool. They always listen to your feedback, etc. Great company, and they have great things ahead of them, etc. Take them out. Take a test one, check it out. It's free, and let me know what you think. And it's called BlockP. Go check them out.
Thanks to our sponsor. This episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast was created using Podcastle. Podcastle is truly the easiest way to start your podcast. You can record remote interviews in studio quality sound. Editing is a breeze with a super intuitive and user-friendly audio editor. You can take advantage of their powerful AI tools like Magic Desk to optimize audio levels and remove background noise with just a single click. And I also use Podcastle to automatically transcribe my episodes, which not only lets me share the final transcript with all of you, my listeners, on different channels, but it even allows me to use their text editor to clean up any of the episode content I don't like, and I'll correspondingly edit the audio accordingly. Podcastle is amazing, all-in-one platform to create your podcast or any audio and video content. Give it a try at podcastle.ai. That is podcastle.ai.
I am what you call an indie podcaster. If I run out of money, there's nobody backing Crazy Fitness Guy. How you can support Crazy Fitness Guy is becoming a premium subscriber to Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast. Our first plan is called Low Crazy. You'll get 100% ad-free content with zero sponsorships and zero commercials. The second plan we have is called Crazy. For $3.99 a month, you get access to the full episodes for the full library archives, early access to the shows, all episodes are ad-free, shout-outs on the show, and you will be helping support our mission, and all the episodes are unedited. For the next plan, if you go year-long for $30 a year, they're extremely crazy. You'll get everything in the crazy plan, plus you'll get access to exclusive members' private Facebook group, and bonus ask me about anything episodes, and you get to suggest topics for the show in the Facebook group. So if you want to help support Crazy Fitness Guy, there's three plans starting at $2.99 a month, going up to $30 a year. So it's $2.99. The next plan that is up is $3.99, and then $30 a year. So thank you for all your support for the years, and I hope I can. I'm looking forward to continue making content just for you. Thank you. To become a premium podcast subscriber, click the links in the show notes and see which plan is right for you.
Welcome to Crazy Fitness, Thy Healthy Living Podcast, where we strive to motivate people who are on the autism spectrum to live healthy lifestyles. If you think this podcast is only for people who are autistic, then think again. Whether you are autistic or not, we have a mix of content from healthy living to everything in between that makes up a balanced and healthy life. Autism is our backbone, and we strive to support the autism community by motivating, inspiring, and educating everyone about what autism is. Please welcome your host, Jimmy Clare, who is a motivational speaker, autism advocate, author, and founder of CrazyFitnessGuide.com.
Welcome to another episode of Crazy Fitness Guy, Healthy Living Podcast, slash weekly motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. Now, before we get started, I know I don't usually wear a hat on this show, and it's not going to be a trend, I can promise you that. But today, let's just say, and I'm going to keep it very short and sweet, let's just say I'm just having a little bit of an off day, and I'm keeping it at that. So, yeah, don't mind the hat. It's not a promotion of any sort. It just says Tufts on it. It's a school in Philadelphia. One of my friends went to there, so that's it. It's not going to come a trend, promise. Unless this Crazy Fitness Guy said, then I have to say that. But anyway, that's all that's going to be said. And I'm just going to have my guest come out, and today's guest, very special guest. He's been on the show before, but he has his new book out, and I haven't read any of his books yet, but I'm going to read his books. His name is Jay Reese, and I haven't read his series yet, but I'm looking forward to it. And the reason I have him come back out here, he's a very, I've seen his work. He's a great author. I don't know if he still has his podcast and whatnot, but he is such a great author and whatnot. And he always has great insights, great conversation list, and all around amazing person. So let's welcome him out, and I'll say my other spiel for later, if I have any. So welcome, Jay Reese. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jimmy, you're going to make me cry with that intro, man. Wow, that was touching. Sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. So before we get started, can you tell us a little about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
Oh, well, absolutely. The short of it is that I'm just a fun-loving vegan dad who wants to spread goodness and to help hopefully motivate others to fulfill their dreams. My books are technically classified as young adult fantasy adventure novels, but I like to think of them more as parables to just life lessons of things that are going on. And yeah, I'm just a guy who tries his best to do as much good as he possibly can without any harm to others. That's essential to me.
It's funny. That's a very, very short way, and a good thing because, like, I had some guests who, when they filled out my form, they gave me like a huge, big, like, movie introduction, like, or credits to. I'm like, now, how do you want me to phrase this? Do you want me to give you fireworks on the screen? I can't do this with a still, but.
Well, Jimmy, me and you have known each other for a few years now, and do me a favor. If you ever catch me anywhere and the intro is 5 to 10 minutes long, go ahead and call me out right then and there, because I promise you, I never want to be that person. I always want to keep it simple, happy, and just, I want to be of service to people, and I don't think that does anybody a service when you're prattling off 20 million thousand accomplishments that nobody really cares about. But that's just my personal thing.
I'm gonna keep my mouth shut on that one, just because I know many people. But I'm not gonna name any specific names or anything, because that's not my view. Unless it's a company.
I don't understand what you're saying.
My first question for you is how. Oh, I should tell you a second question, but my second question for you is, can you give us a little synopsis of your like first book, just a broad one, not to give any away details or anything else, but just very short and sweet.
Well, absolutely. So Legacy, my first book, is pictured behind me for all those who might be watching. Legacy is a YA fantasy adventure novel centering around Zolani and Rain's search for peace. Once they think they find it, they get a knock at the door, and lo and behold, like most books, there has to be some drama. They get a royal message from the king saying, hey, you need to come back and answer for everything you've done. Well, at that point, they have to figure out if they're going to actually take their two kids and run, or if they're actually going to fight for the peace that they so do deserve. And that happens to be the first chapter, Jimmy.
That already caught my interest too, because before we got on here, I was telling you the book about I'm reading. I can't name right. it because, and I'm going to say the reason why I can't name it at the moment is because I might be getting the author on my show as well. If I give it away, then it's going to give away who the guest is, and it hasn't happened yet. So I'm like, so sneak peek on that.
I hope you'll tell off air.
I'll tell you off air, but you can't tell anyone else just because it may or may not be changed. Stuff is still in the works. But anyway,
got it.
What I really like about what I liked about her books that caught my attention was that see some of the things that are happening in the book that is happening in real life, and I was like, why does this sound familiar? And I'm not getting political or anything, but it is like, she really does.
Right.
She has. I always appreciate when an author or a writer of a TV show takes you on an adventure.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. You may be heard of the show Avatar: The Last Airbender. Well, they always tell you, you know, they have like war, genocide in the series, but they don't preach to you. They you're on a journey, and they don't feel like they don't like preach at you. It's like, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. I like authors who do that. And so it's like, I'm not being talked to like I'm scolded like my parents. It's like, you done this bad thing, blah blah blah. I thought I'm reading something to be enjoyed and entertained and learning some lessons along the way, but not to be point fingers at.
No, I absolutely agree. I personally don't want to talk down to anybody, and I don't like it when people do it to me. But I can share, listen to a story, which is honestly how a lot or most of us learn anyway. I feel we're all better for it. So, yeah, I agree with you.
So, my next question for you is, what inspired you to start the series?
It was my family. I used to read the daughter and kids when they were younger. They are currently, at the time of this recording, 14 and 18. And they were wee little tights. I used to read to them all the time. And the stories that we read, they were cute, but a lot of them didn't look like us. They didn't hold our values. And by that, I mean, the kids just got their way. The parents were kind of like dopey, just there, just to show that they had parents in the story. And they just weren't, in my opinion, family values. The families bickered, there was arguing. Not to say families don't do that, but I like to think that there are worlds where families get along for the most part, that they help each other out. Not that they can't argue, not that they don't disagree. In my book, the family does argue and they do disagree. But I think overall that family should work together if they're healthy and functioning. And that's a pretty much family. So all of the drama more or less tends to come from outside the family versus what happens in the family.
I love that, especially because I think everybody can relate to family drama. I can also think that people can relate to maybe hardships with friends or other things. And like, for instance, the book I was just telling you about as well is one of the characters in the book. Lately, I've been seeing more and more. This can sound kind of wrong, but I'm not trying to sound in a wrong way, but he's kind of, I feel like he's kind of part of me too. And I was like, I can see. And I was like, this character kind of represents part of me. And I was like, because this character had extra challenges, that Arthur used to wear as a disability. And, I was like, he's been through people talking behind his back, saying bullying and whatnot. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then these other characters that are friends with them, basically one of them happens to be, you know, his, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but let's just say, he really likes the character. And the thing I find intriguing is that I can see myself in many of the characters, the main four characters in the book.
Is he?
I can get very hot-headed. I can get down like this person. I can be really relaxed like this other person. Mm-hmm. And I can be like a total genius at some other point like this other person. It's like, damn. Like I had like four characters in one whole body. Like, it's like no wonder why I can't get any sleep at night.
No, I get you completely. Being able to connect with a character, I think, makes any story that much worthwhile. I'm trying to think of the last time I really connected with a character from a story that I was reading. None is coming to mind, but I understand what you mean. Particularly like if you're able to connect with more than one character. Yeah, I like that. I can see that.
And you know, to be honest, I've read a lot of books over the years, but like this is like the first one I've ever know that I can connect with their character deep down, or like some of these other books. Like one of them happens to be Alex Rider from Anthony Horowitz, 14-year-old spy. And I was like, boy, I wish I was a spy when I was 14 years old. And he's like, I've got cool gadgets. The hell? Is like, where was my spy gadgets? I want my spy gadgets.
Right? Yeah.
So my next question for you is, being an author, what makes you continue to keep writing when you feel like when you hit a brick wall? Because I noticed for myself when I hit a brick wall, I've been working on this bigger project of mine, and when I hit a brick wall, it's been because of college work. And then when I'm done at college for the semester, I'm like, how do I get back into this thing? And it's like, I try to go back into it, and it's like, still writing. And it's like, and then something interrupts me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh crap, now I can't get back into it again.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thanks to our sponsorship with Deep Stash. You're probably wondering, what the heck is Deep Stash? Well, Deep Stash allows you to learn new stuff every single day. You can become the smartest person in the room with unlimited access to 200,000 plus powerful ideas from top books, podcasts, and more. They have a generous free plan. And if you want to check them out, click the link below in the podcast descriptions. Either or will work. But you got, but definitely check them out, because if you're a daily learner like me and like to learn new stuff, I don't always have time to read 11-minute articles or 15-minute articles during the day. So with Deep Stash, I can listen to them on the go while I'm driving the car or on an airplane, etc. So go check out my friends at Deep Stash. You won't regret it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Speaking of relating, yeah, I related to almost everything you just said. So, like, I think it depends on what that roadblock is or what that brick wall is, because my approach might be different. So, currently, we have a lot of dogs on our property for various different reasons. And those dogs bark. People go past in the neighborhood, things happening around us, just the dogs bark. And in my house, I can hear them. So a lot of times I'm trying my best to write. It's hard to write when you got dogs barking all day long. So there was a time where I would say, you know what, I'm just not going to write today. But then I found that I wasn't getting any writing done. So luckily, I don't remember if I saw a video or just a thought popped in my head, but I got myself some noise canceling headphones that I have right here, and I use those. So that helped me get over that block wall to write for that. When it comes to like distractions by family, my family knows that I have a blocked writing time that from 4 o'clock, or excuse me, like 4:30 in the morning to roughly 11 o'clock in the morning, from 4:30 to 11, that's my writing time. Unless it's an emergency or something, just like the world's falling apart, please let me write. Let me be creative. Let me get my stuff done. There's times where at first they weren't respecting those boundaries. After that, after a quick conversation, we got it handled. So I handled that wall. But then there are times where stuff happens where, like, you know, I had to fix in the house, I can't write, or just life happens, because life is always going to happen. And I give myself grace to understand that in a perfect world, I could write all day, any day if I wanted to. But this isn't a perfect world, so I have to understand that things are going to come up. And even my own procrastination or my own self-interference, let's say, sometimes that gets in the way. And like, I don't feel like writing. Luckily, I have a point now where I'm disciplined enough where I'll just go write even when I don't feel like it. But there are times where, you know, I'm like, you know what, let me get to a zone to just relax, to like watch a movie or do something that will help me go back and write later. So sometimes walls are good. Ish, if that makes sense.
I agree. For me, when, to be honest, I used to write a lot on my website. But I've been getting a lot of ghostwriters because I've been trying to get into the habit of writing for my own project. And because it's like, is this to flip some backseat, a lot of pressure off my shoulders? Because it's like, well, I'm the only writer. And it's like, there's a lot of people who want to be guest writers. And it's like, I want to be guest writers on other websites and whatnot. I don't want to just be me. I know as an entrepreneur, I was like, was mostly a lot of things of me, but it's like, I want to be me on other things and not just hey, I'm just going to be the writer of everything and be a podcaster on top of that. Cause like, and it's like, because, you know, it's either, because when I started learning a thing, it's like, do I want to be a writer or be a podcaster? It's like, let's do both. And it's like, yeah, how do you do both?
Well, I understand, because it's funny that I was actually having a similar conversation with a close friend of mine. We both are creative, and as a creative person, you tend to like to do a lot of creative things. Like, there usually isn't just one thing you want or need to do. So we were discussing, how do you do multiple things? Well, my workaround usually is I have designated days where I do things. So like currently Thursdays are my writing days. Wednesdays are usually my my paperwork office day, where I'm doing all the stuff that I really don't want to do, like the unfun stuff, like sending emails, answering emails, all that lovely stuff. Website design, like all the stuff that isn't creative for me. Now, my friend, on the other hand, he does it by hours. Like, he has a set hour where he writes. He has a set hour where he answers email. Like, he can break it down like that. Me, that's too much change for me. I need, like, when I'm focused, I need to focus. So like you, for me to maintain my website, that has to be a whole day for me to do. I don't do anything else. I do the website. Then there's another day where I just write and work on that. I do know there are people, there are some very famous writers out there who have ghostwriters, and I'm not hating on anyone who does anything like that. And what they do is they, I guess they're so high up in their career where they're just busy doing everything that they do. They'll have an idea. They'll send that idea off to a ghostwriter. That ghostwriter will write the first one, two drafts of that idea, send it back to that author and their team. And then that author will take it from there. And yo, if that's what somebody wants to do to get stuff done, I don't necessarily see a problem with that, because I think anybody trying to be successful, you have to learn what you're good at and what you're not good at. And if you're getting bogged down in all the things that you're not good at, you're never going to get the time to do what you're good at. And then everybody suffers. You're not going to be a service to anybody. So as soon as you're able to, for lack of better words, pass off what you're not good at to other people who are good at it, it's going to be that much harder for you to succeed. Now, a lot of the things that I like to do that I'm not really good at, I like to do them. So I keep doing them. But maybe one point I'll pass things. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm kind of like right there with you as well. I've cut down, I wouldn't say cut down on everything. I spread some stuff out throughout the month, because yeah. I used to have, as a creative person as well, I decided there's like there's some tasks that I did like 7 days a week, and like, why? And I was like, is this thing even serving me anymore? Because I can take a look at my content schedules, like,
right,
I'm only posting my an article once a month. I'm posting up a podcast once a month. Why am I doing this one task 7 days a week? And saying, if this doesn't make any sense to me. And I can't even post my podcast on the platform, on this one platform. It's only for articles. And I'm like, okay, let's do it once a month on the first of the month. And then I spread it out, other things. Like, for me, my admin day stuff is all on Mondays, just because something always, I don't say always, but most times when something breaks, it happens over the weekend. And it's like, do I want to tackle that before the weekend on Friday? And I tried that for a little bit, and it's like, yeah, let's go on the weekend, very annoyed. I was like, that's a great way to experience the weekend. Yeah. I was like, let's do that on Monday. And it's like, because it's like, I mean, it's not a great way to start the year together, but I'm like thinking, it's like, it's either going to have to be Friday or Monday. And I picked Monday because I knew Monday was not going to be an interviewing day for me. And so it's like, Friday's my interviews day. Okay. I want to do it. And so I had it, it's just scrapping.
Yeah.
And so I like the rethink I've done, because there's some days that are like really busy where I'm marketing, boom, 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 boom. And then there's other days that, one day I have like 32 tasks in my digital to-do list. And then the next day is like 17. This week has been like 12, 13, 14. So it's kind of like more evenly spread out. So it's like, if I have to pick 4 days out of the whole month to be very, very busy, it's like, I'll take those odds. I'll take those numbers. No,
I agree with you. And I'm glad you were able to assess what you needed and what you were doing, because that helped you alleviate, or I shouldn't say alleviate, but that helps you change the structure of everything you were doing to be able to get more done. I know in the intro, you were mentioning the podcast that I was doing about a year or so ago. I had to make a decision to pull the plug on that because it was taking me away from other endeavors that I thought were serving me and serving the community that I work with. And I found a short workaround. A friend of mine, me and her, we go live every Friday on TikTok. We're taking a short hiatus right now just because it's summertime. But every Friday on TikTok is where we go live just to answer author questions, to spread motivation, have fun, that whole kind of thing. And that was my workaround. I don't feel the pressure that I was having from the podcast, which I'm sure you can understand that completely. I don't really have to worry about marketing as much. So there was just ways that I could just get around that. I'm sure I'll go back to podcasting at some point. It's just for that time period, for that season, I kind of had to let it go. But I had to reevaluate my situation to make that decision, just like how you did with yours.
Yeah, right. At the moment, I'm for my podcast, I wouldn't say this as cheating, because some of my friends joke with me like, "Oh, that's cheating." It's like, "Oh, please!" It's like I don't know how to cheat if I could. I'll give you a quick example on that. Anytime when I got my video games growing up, it was either my brother or my cousins who got the cheat codes, I used them, but it's not like I came. They left it on the desk, in the basement. And I was like, "Oh,
right."
And I was like, "I got it." So I admit on that stuff when I was younger, but it was never me. It's like, I'm going to Google how to do this or how to do that. That wasn't me.
Right.
What I was going to say, and how to relate it to the podcast, was over the years, I bought some marketing tools just to help me to spread out my content and curate some content that I find interesting from other publishers that I wouldn't necessarily come across just on my daily Google searches. And I was like, this is not cheating. Me working smarter, not harder. And some of my
absolutely.
I was thinking at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, I scheduled that out, and it's like, that's cheating. It's like, you think anybody, it's like, you think celebrities automatically are doing this here and there by themselves? It's like, no. And like, do you think other marketers are doing manually across their platform? No. I can do it. And I was like, if they can do it, why can I do it? And it's like, I'm only one person. And it's like, they have funds. I do not.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a tool that helps make your life easier. Don't get me wrong. There are certain advantages people have just by their economic status or their gender, race, whatever. But when you have literal tools that just help your life be easier, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Almost every social media app now has some type of scheduling filter in it where you can schedule your post. A lot of people do that. I know there are celebrities, influential people who hire social media managers. So all they have to do is give the content to that manager. That manager will edit it, make it all pretty, and post it where it needs to post, how it needs to post with all the captions. So is that cheating? I mean, debate that all day, but a tool is a tool. Not accessible to you, or you don't want to use it, but tools are tool. I don't see anything wrong with sharing posts.
Yeah, exactly.
Of all the things that could happen, somebody. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say exactly. It's like, you know, it's like, it's one thing if this like tool is like totally off limits to the world, and it's like, but it's like I purchased it with my own money. It's like it wasn't like I went on the dark web just to go get it. It's like it was on AppSumo, and it's like AppSumo is open to everyone. And it's like I just happened to say,
right.
You know what? I'm tired of paying the subscription for this. I go get the lifetime version. And like this company still had those subscription, but they were giving lifetime deals for a certain amount of price. And I was like, okay, I'm not made of money, but if this saves me time from posting to one network, to one network, to another network, and it's like, I'm in.
Well, that's the thing. Again, this is a conversation I had with a family member a long time ago, because the house I was staying at that time, I had a lawn maintenance service come and take care of my lawn. And my friend or family member at the time, like, oh, why don't you just do that yourself? Your yard's not that big. And I just looked at him like, it's about the time. Like, if I do my yard, it'll take me hour and a half, 2 hours. They come and do it. I don't have to worry about it. Well, yeah, you got to pay them to do it. Well, yeah, because I value my time, and my time for me is money. That time that me cutting the grass, I could have been writing another chapter. I could have been marketing. And there's so many other things I could have been doing outside of my lawn care. And my family member just wasn't understanding it. They're like, oh, my God, I just like just do it. Like you could save that money. Yes, I could, but I'm making more money by doing what I can be doing instead of cutting the grass. If I enjoyed cutting grass and that brought me peace and helped me like be creative, sure. But it does nothing but add stress to my life. So why not me pay someone to do it for me, you know? And I think that's kind of the same vein of like, yeah, if you bought a system that helps you send your things out, schedule your post, and saves you time, you can go out and do anything else and you don't have to remember, oh my God, I got to send this out at 5 o'clock on Friday, or this post on 2 o'clock on Wednesday. Get rid of that headache. You can have more capacity to think about all the things you really need to do. Again, I think that's the win right there.
Exactly.
I don't think your friend was knowing exactly, respectfully.
I think of it just like, he always teases me and everything, but I was like, really? And it's like, geez, it's like, if this is cheating, he's like, well, fine by me, I'll cheat then. And it's like, me, cheating in my definition is like somebody buying a bunch of followers off of some scamming website and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not
like, cheating. I'm not gonna spend my money on that because I know that that's gonna be full of bots and fake accounts, and it's like, yeah, well, that doesn't sound legit at all. Wink, wink.
yeah, right. Trust me. Like I used to work with. Oh, I had a partner who me and her were collaborating on videos, and she wanted to do that. She wanted to like boost the engagement, to buy followers and a whole bunch of other stuff. And this is like when it was new. So no one really knew what was going on. You just knew like, oh, how did they get so many followers that quick? They must have had a video that popped off. And I kept asking her about it because I didn't really know. I just figured it was just, I figured the algorithm would show it to people who fit our demographic, but like you're saying, Jimmy, no, it goes to fake accounts, bots, all these other things, and then it actually ends up hurting you in the long run because once you stop paying, or once you thrush meat so much, I forget, your engagement just drops down, and then your videos just die because it has nowhere to go. All that inflated engagement does nothing for you except for just to show people the numbers. So
I agree with that. So my next question for you is, How did you come up with the name of the book? Did you always have the name in your head when you were starting it? And if not, how did you come up with that name?
Well, honestly, for the first book, Legacy, the name just came to me one day while I was thinking about it. The first story was about I was trying to think, a geologist, and it was a very sad story, to say the least. I let my daughter read it, and she came back to me. She's like, "Daddy, this sucks." Like, thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it. thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. So I had to retool everything and rewrite and figure some things out and where I wanted the story to go. And I was trying to think of what do I want this story to hold? What would the title be? What's in a story? And at the time that I thought about the name, the story wasn't even finished yet. But I kept coming back. What do I want to leave my kids? What do I want the world to know? What is this? And all I kept thinking about was like, this is my legacy. This is going to be my first book. This is just what I leave to the world. It's a legacy for all to see. And then for some reason, as I was thinking, I just kept coming back to the word legacy. So I was like, oh, legacy. Yo, yeah, legacy. A Scion book series. And then the Scion, a lot of people don't know, Scion is heir to the throne, references some things that happened in the book. So I figured it all meshed together. So for the second book, The Forgotten Legacy of Gods and Men, that title, this actually came when I finished the book. And I was thinking about everything that happened in the book, the story that I was telling. And I wanted Legacy to still be in the title because they go together. It's like the series. And I kept thinking about what goes on, the story that I was telling. And the story itself has a lot to do about the people within the world that we've forgotten about, whether the gods, the men, the women, the children. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, that fits. The Forgotten Legacy of Gods and Men, a Scion book series. And that's how I got the second title.
That's catchy. I like books with catchy names in it. I never say don't judge a book by its cover, but I always feel like I'm always like, I think what caught me, like, just to do as an example of the series I'm reading, each of the books had a cover of the main of each of the four characters in the book, and I was like, I never seen this before. I mean, there are some on, you know, like Alex Rider books and whatnot, but some of them like might be like not his exact face, but you like see his like silhouette or something. But I was like, what does this character look like? And it's like, wow, this. I mean, again, not like thinking about like what they actually look like, but just like, I never seen this on a book before. I mean, to actually see the main characters, yeah, because they always describe, like in the book, like this person has his black hair or whatnot. And it's like, and to see that on the cover firsthand, I'm like, this is interesting. And so it caught my, and it's like, and then anything with magic in it kind of just kind of like, okay, I'm already hooked. And it's like, I wish magic really existed today. Like, if I need to clean my bath and just, snap my fingers and everything just clean, like all done.
Magic would be nice.
Be gone.
No, I agree with you. There's something about a cover. I tend to be a book dragon myself, so I judge books by covers. I cannot lie to you. A cover will draw me over to a book every single time, and I judge it. Like, if a book has in my opinion, a bad cover, it's very rare that I'll pick it up and look at the back to read to see the synopsis. If the cover is really well done and it fits what I feel like I'm in the mood to read, yeah, I judge a book by its cover. I really do. And I think a lot of people do, whether they admit it or not.
And to be honest, I mean, I don't like doing every day in the real world or anything. It just like, if I'm going to spend my time reading something, I want it to be fun, adventurous, entertaining, or something like if it's a how-to book, I want to learn something out of the book and whatnot. I don't want to just like, I'm going to teach you how to do this. And then I read the whole thing. It's like, well, what the hell was I supposed to take away from this?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know Crazy Fitness Guy is not backed by any corporate company and is just a one-person show? Well, there's this term around the podcasting community called indie podcasters. I'm an independent podcast creator. So because I'm not backed by a huge big corporate company, well, if I run out of money and everything else, Crazy Fitness Guy would no longer exist. No website, no podcast, no nothing. If you want to help support the show and keep our lights on, consider becoming a premium podcast member of Crazy Fitness Guy's premium podcast. You get behind-the-scenes access, early access to shows, private Discord server, and premium Discord roles, and exclusive behind-the-scenes access. Plans start at $3.99 a month or $30 a year.
No, I agree. I have a rule that it took me a while to impose. So if I pick up a book and start reading it, and by the third chapter, if I'm not learning, entertained, or happy, I stop reading. I might come back to it later, maybe a few years. But I just figured that maybe I'm not ready for that book yet. And then I don't give it a rating, but that's my personal thing. I just feel like life is too short. There's too many books out there and there's too many things to do. I like to, like you said, I want to enjoy what I'm reading. I want to make sure I'm learning something. And if I don't feel like I'm getting that within, again, three chapters, yeah, I'll put it down for quite a while. I'll come back to it at some point, but chances are it'll be a long time.
Well, that brings me to my next point. Is like there's only two books maybe I've ever given like a really bad review on. I'm not going to say the other one, but and this is kind of maybe a little bit controversial for some people. But I was a fan of the Lord of the Rings movies. And I know they were a little bit long, but at least there were some entertaining spots. Got to see battles.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Where I got annoyed with Tolkien, and I know he's long gone, but where I got annoyed was that there was a few, I think there was like a whole chapter he was just describing a blade of grass. I'm like, are you kidding me? I was like, I get it. It's like, I mean, it's impressive that he came up with this whole realm. But I was like, it's grass. If I want to, I'll go outside and study the grass myself. Well, I'm not really caring with the moon.
So Jimmy, I'm laughing about this because of all the authors you could have picked, for all the books you could have picked, you had to pick Lord of the Rings and Tolkien. And the reason why I say that is because, so again, my partner in crime, Rosalie, we talk about this all the time because she knows that I am a Tolkien hater. I hate Tolkien. I have no problem saying that. Y'all can hate me. You can judge me all you like. I despise Tolkien. Don't get me wrong. The movies, I like the movies. I enjoy them. They're entertaining. But the books, no, I do not. But here's the thing. I do have an understanding of anytime a book is written, it is nice to be able to take into consideration what else is going on. So when Tolkien wrote his books or his series, there wasn't television. There, there was no internet. So he was describing things that people had never seen before, never heard of before. And yeah, people had heard of grass, but they didn't. A lot of people that read his books were like in cities. They might not know what grass looks like. Most people who live in cities have concrete around them everywhere. They've heard of grass. And yeah, if they go to a park, they can kind of see grass, but a field, a meadow, like Tolkien describes, no, they wouldn't know what that is. Or like, I think there's one part where he's describing a tree for like 27 pages. I'm like, bruh, who hasn't seen a tree? But there have been people who haven't seen a tree, like a real tree. So at his time when he wrote all that stuff, yes, it was very important that he described almost everything to nauseam. And I respect that. I get that. However, nowadays, that's not necessary. So for me, instance, like I'm an author and I write in my books, I have mentioned trees. I don't go on for 3 pages about these grass. I know in my first book, there is a forest, the lightning forest. I describe how the trees look in the lightning forest because my understanding that lightning trees are not a real thing. So I had to describe that. But there are other trees I talk about that someone's leaning against a tree. I didn't have to describe that because most of us have seen trees before in this generation, like in this time frame. So Tolkien, yeah, personally, I'm not a fan of Tolkien because like you, Jimmy, he goes on forever describing stuff. However, I do understand that in the time that he wrote those books, there was a need for it. Those people, a lot of those people that read his stuff didn't understand or didn't know what those things looked like, in his defense. But yeah, I don't read Tolkien anymore. I tried several times and I'm gone. I don't read Tolkien.
To be honest, now that you gave it to me like that, I kind of understand that too now. But I just think, like I said, I can get into it. My brother liked it. My mom loved it.
Yeah.
I get to the point that stuff needs to be there a little bit. Like, for instance, for one thing I liked about what J.K. Rowling did, not saying about her reasoning comments or anything, because I can disagree about that all day long. And I don't really have an opinion about that. But my point is, any of that other stuff came out, so this was like 2007 and whatnot, I was able to
look at
reading all of the Harry Potter books. What got me intrigued with that was that she described something, but she didn't go in too much in depth, but just enough so it was like, I feel like I'm in that room.
Right.
And so, but not to get your, like, I don't like the saying, but to beat a dead horse or whatnot. And I was like, okay, I got it. I understand. And it's like, the project I'm working on, I'm making sure, like, is this too much being a dead horse? And I was like, I don't think so. I admit that maybe there's some parts in here and there I maybe expand a little bit, but I was like, I'll let someone else look at it before I do anything with it. I'm just getting my words down on paper. I just don't want to make any corrections at the moment because, like, if I take it away, it's easier to take away than it is to add.
A lot of times it really is. Me personally, like you, I try my best not to over explain things while I write. But I like to say that's what my editors are for, because if they read it and they're like, hey, this makes no sense, I don't know what you're talking about here, then I'm like, okay, I need to add more. I need to be more descriptive. Because again, like, I want to give people just enough where their imagination can take over and build whatever else needs to be built for them. Because we're all different. We all want to see various different things. Case in point, in the second book, I let a lot of ARC readers get to it. And several, well, no, one of them particularly was like, hey, what race is this person? And I just replied back, I don't know. And they're like, well, how do you not know? You wrote it. And I just simply responded with, no, I know what I feel that person is. However, that person's race wasn't important to the story. So you can picture that person, whatever race you want them to be. But as far as I'm concerned, their race was not important. Now, there are some other characters in the book whose race is important to their character. So yes, they are described as that race would be described. But for the most part, if this is a background person or a person whose race is not important, like it holds no merit to their character, then there's no reason for me to describe them, at least in my opinion.
I agree with that to an extent too, because like the books I shall not name, author, this sounds like the Lord Voldemort again. It's like the wizard who must not be named.
Right.
But anyway, this author, there's some race in the book, but it's very slightly where it's like, I want you to see beyond the person, beyond this. I want you to see, hey, there's friendship amongst everybody. There's this and that. It's come together. Like, but I have to say, it's been like, I have many favorite authors, and and even though I love like a lot of the authors that I had on the show, but even just more to the point of the authors that I just read for fun and everything else, I haven't read a book like this since like Harry Potter, where there's some nights that I was up until like 11 o'clock, and some people say,
yeah,
and there's times where my parents, when I was reading Harry Potter to late at night, it's like, well, at least you weren't watching TV. I was like, that's true. I was like, and so even though I'm tired, like the next day, I'm like, huh. And it's like, I just read my book, and it's like, I want to know what happens. Like, there's one point where I was like worried that these main characters were going to have something bad happen to them. And I was like, I kind of know what happens. And every time when I'm like about to find out what happens, I have to like leave for karate after I do this, I do that. I was like, damn it, I just want to nerd this freaking motherfucker. And it's like, I can't believe I'm on.
Yeah. That is the sign of a really good book, or when you're really interested in the book, when you feel like you just can't put. There's been a few books that I've read recently like that. However, there is one book that I've been trying to read, and it's about to get DNF, did not finish, because it's about witches, werewolves, and vampires, and the main character doesn't know that she's a witch. She finds out through the death of a family, and I'm not spoiling anything. It's like on the back of the book when you read it. The first, I don't know, 2.5-3 chapters, it's just her talking about her situation. Like, she doesn't know what's going on, and it's very, very boring. And like I said earlier, after 3 chapters, I put it down. I might come back to it later, but I put it down. So I'm intrigued enough because there's things have happened in the book where I'm like, okay, I want to see where this goes, but you got to give me some more. You got to give me some more. So chances are I might give this one a 4th chapter, but chances are I think I'm really going to like sit it to the side and come back to it later, just because it's such a slow burn to begin with. And I'm not a fan of slow burn books. Well, except unless they're romances, that tends to be a little different. But action books, fantasy books, or just fun books. Yeah, I don't need those to be slow. I want my action like bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, very much like maybe like the third or fourth page in this of the series. I mean, it literally just became like super interesting. It's like, oh, this is big monster. I was like, what is this thing? And I was like, I need to know what else. And then like all of a sudden, like right. On the fourth book, just like from the fifth into the fifth book, it was just like a continuation. It was then just like, hey, here's a recap of everything. It was just like, here you are. There's like a new TV episode. It's like, what's happening? And of course, when I found this author, she has like 50 other plus books. And it's like,
yeah,
I guess I know her. I'm going to be smiling for one.
That's the best thing too, is like when you're able to find an author who has like a plethora of a backlog, like they just have so many books, and it's like, that's great. I'm going to be with you for quite a while. I appreciate that too.
No offense to anybody out there who are a James Patterson fan. I like him, but there's a point where it just like a lot of his detective books is just like solved. Where one of my author that I met on Twitter, my first 10 Twitter followers he followed me on years ago when I first started on. Now X.
Oh wow, that's cool.
But yeah, funny thing is,
I don't think I'll ever call it that.
No, are you sure? I thought it was a really great name. Yeah. Oh crap! Sure.
But right,
I was making this guy, what I really liked him. I called him like the young James Patterson, because like even though when you think something is solved, he leaves you on a cliffhanger for the next one. I'm like, I did not see that coming. I wish sometimes James Patterson did this. And it's like, it's not that I'm like bashing James Patterson, because I've read a lot of James Patterson books, especially when I was always in the library reading his books. And I was just like, I was like, you know, sometimes you just want more and not just like, it's like the show Bones, where it is after a while, instead of having a continuation or something that they can't solve yet, it's like you can't just solve. Everything is just perfect. And like, in my world, can you solve this case in like in 300 pages?
Well, no, I know exactly what you mean, because like you, I like if you do solve it, I need it to be so many twists and turns inside that I feel the solve is justified. When it comes to James Patterson, I feel like he's in a hole right now, because every series he comes up with, like you said, it's usually solved by the end of the novel, and that's what his fan base look for. That's what they like. So for him to put out a book where the ending isn't solved, I don't know if his fan base would tolerate that. And I think that's the hard part when you write a series, or when you're an author who's known for something. Look at R. Martin. He has himself in a hole right now for various different reasons. But one of the things that his readers love about his books, it's that like he's able to speak particularly European history and twist it to fit this world of Game of Thrones. And his last book, which is taking quite a while, is another hole that he's had. Like, I feel like there's so much pressure on him right now. I don't know if we'll ever get to see that last finished book, which also is another reason why a lot of people won't start a series. Like, if they know your book is a series, they won't touch it. I've had many people come to me, or not come to me, but like I could be talking to a new reader, and one of their first questions is, oh, is this a series? Yes, it is. Oh, when you finish the series, I'll be more than happy to pick it up. I don't finish it until I know the series is complete. And that's right for them to do, because they want to make sure they're going to get the payoff that they deserve, because if they go through with this whole series And if they're left on a cliffhanger, let's say, like, so right now I have book one and I have book two published. Heaven forbid if something were to happen to me and book three, it doesn't come out. There are going to be people out there who are wondering what's going to be happening in book three that won't know. And I get it. I mean, I hope they still pick up the books anyway, but I get it. They just know that the books aren't going to be done. But again, R.R. Martin, there's people out there waiting, won that book, but it's going to take a while. But James Patterson, he ties everything up in a nice little bow, and that's what his readers like. So, yeah, I think.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, I like his books too. And because, like, I've posted on social media with a few of his books. And so it's not, I'm not bashing him whatsoever. It's just that he's, because his book.
Didn't sound like I'll give it you were bad.
Yeah. And it's like, and there's like, because there's times where, like, if I'm in between books, like, or series, I might go pick up another James Patterson book digitally from my library, you know. Now it's a good filler to, into, like, he does have this one series, at least I think it's a series. It's called NYPD Red, and it's like up to like book seven now, and I haven't read like, I don't think I read six or seven yet. I forget where I stopped at, but at least I keep track of my books that in the book reading app, so I can go back to see which ones I finished. But there's something, I think sometimes there's like a little bit continuation or something new happens, at least in with the family in the book of this detective. And so it's sometimes I like that stuff is tied up into a bow, but then there's sometimes it's just like, I want some more twists and turns and not just like, oh, there's four bodies in the book. And it's like, I know this is a detective book, but it's like, and what I really like about, the author I had on my show, Luke Murphy. He leads you with them. Like, he doesn't tell you exactly what happened until like near the end. And it's like when one of the characters go to sleep at night, and he remembers in his head of what one of the person's body that died right before his eyes said to him, and then that's where how he ends it. It's like. I'm not saying it's exactly how it ends, but it's like,
right.
And I'm not saying the wordage of it, but right. I was like, huh? And it's like, and then he's like, oh, I want to know what happens. It's like, you ended there. I was like, how dare you? But yeah, I like authors that have like twist turns. And it's like, keep me up all night, please. I need my sleep too.
No, it's funny that you mentioned that, because there's been a few other projects that I've written on, and I've helped other authors, and we'll end it on a cliffhanger. And the loving hate mail that we'll get, like, how dare you end it this way? How could you? When's the next book come out? Right? So people like it. Like, they say they don't, but they really do. They really do like it.
You should write back to them and say, I'm getting mixed signals here.
No, a lot of times I just simply write back, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way, but you know, for the story we were telling, we felt that was the best resolution at the time, or something to that effect. That's usually how we respond, or I will respond.
Makes sense. So my next questions are, how many books do you see in the series, just as like a rough estimate? Or
I can't give that away, Jimmy. That's like a secret. I can't tell you that. Yeah. I can't tell you what the plan is for the book. No, I don't mind telling you. So I honestly, I plan 9 total. But here's the thing. So each 3 books will be its own story. So I have 1, there's 2, and then the 3rd one hopefully will be out by next year. Those will all be one story or one continuing story. And then my characters will age. There'll be a time jump. And then we'll move into the next set of challenges that goes on for these characters within the next 3 books. And then there'll be another time jump and continue on.
I can see that.
Right now there's 9. That's what I'm planning. I mean, that might be less, might go higher, but right now 9 is where I'm going.
I kind of dig that at the moment because there's some TV shows I've seen, time jumps and, but I mean, they don't do like it in like a necessary, like a bad way or wrong way. It's like, okay, there's some difference, like differences, but as like, as long as you can tell me a great story, wrap it up, and like for instance, you probably heard of the show Stranger Things,
yeah,
on Netflix. Well, there's a point to me where like, so far it's been it first came out 2016, and they're saying that the last one's going to be wrapped up by like end of 2025, give or take. And I'm like, it took you that long to do this? And it's like, no wonder why people are just tired.
Well, they had the first problem of being on Netflix, because Netflix is notorious for taking so long to bring a new season or bringing the next season of a series in. And by time they drop the season, most of us have forgotten what happened. Even like right now, like you, I watch Stranger Things. There are a few things that I remember, but the overall story, I don't remember. There's been a couple other shows that I remember really, really liking. And for the life of me, I know a season 2 or the next season is coming out. I don't remember the last season. Like, I remember enjoying it, but I'm like, what happened here? What was this character's name? I don't like, I'm trying to think what would be a good example. There's an animated series that I was watching with my kids called The Dragon Prince. It was a very good show.
Well,
but they were taking so long with each season. But they were taking so long with each season, we would have to go back and rewatch the whole thing to remember everything that happened for the last season. And I don't think anybody really has time for that. So, you know.
Well, one thing I've do realize, like, one thing I have to say though, not criticism of Stranger Things, but if the Harry Potter movies that are like 2.5 hours long or 2 hours long, however long each movie is, because I think each movie became a little bit longer towards the end. If you can all do it between like a year to a year and a half, and that's a full-blown movie. This is a TV show, and it's like, and it consists of 8 episodes. And you're like, you're probably familiar with Cobra Kai on Netflix too. Well, at least one thing that they're doing.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but I've heard of it.
What they're doing for the last season is that they're putting it out like 5 episodes, 5 episodes, 5 episodes, and 5 episodes, because it's going to be 15 total episodes. And some people say, oh, why don't we just get that's all at once? And I have to say, well, you know, maybe this is going to work for this last season, because, you know, people want to see something. The way that they're going, it could have been all the way where Stranger Things is going until the end of 2025.
Yeah. Well, so it's challenging. So I have a acting background. So I have knowledge on the industry, not because like I know people, but because So like when TV shows used to get made, I don't know how much you know, Jimmy. I don't know how much the audience knows. So like seasons used to be 22 episodes, right? Everybody remembers the new shows would come on. So they would start in the fall. Then we get greenlit for like one episode, like a pilot or two episodes, three episodes, maybe at the most. They would see how the show tested on its first few openings. If it did really well, it would get greenlit for another 13, maybe 14 episodes to last till Christmas. They would come out once a week, and then they would see where they are at Christmas. And if they were really good, they'd come back. If they weren't so good, they wouldn't come back. But also, if a show was really good, like say it was already on for like, I don't know, two, maybe three seasons, and the first season didn't do as well as expected, they wouldn't cancel it, but what they would do is they would retweet the show. They would either write in new storylines or they would just completely change older ones. So then for the next season, you might have a different tone. And that was the 22 episode for the seasons, right? So now with the model of what a lot of streaming services are doing, they've gone to an 8-episode model, which in my opinion is very horrible because that is barely enough episodes to tell a great cohesive story for streaming. But there is no testing the audience anymore. It's them filming whatever, and then they drop it on a streaming services like Netflix. They usually drop it all in one day. Now, Disney Plus and a few other streaming services like Amazon, they still do the days of dropping it once a week because they know that creates the buzz. Then that helps the show last longer, the longevity, because people are talking about it. Netflix is like, yo, we're just going to like Cobra Kai, and I think there might have been a few other series that they drop their episodes a little bit by little because, again, they're trying to test that water. So I don't know if Cobra Kai is going to do reshoots or tailor things differently because they're spacing all those episodes out, or if it's just a simple fact of they want to keep the longevity of the conversation of Cobra Kai because it is a very popular show. I'm not sure what all that stuff is, but I have a feeling that Netflix is changing a lot of their policies, and it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of their shows stop dropping all at once. If they start doing either a weekly thing or kind of like how they did with Bridgerton, or there was a show they did a while ago that they dropped half of it in the beginning of the year and then they dropped the other half a few months later. It's all a preference. Me personally, I like shows that come out once a week, like one episode a week, maybe because that's what I grew up with. But I feel like there's something to long for. There's something to wait for versus having to binge, or not having to, but instead of binging it all at once. But, you know what I mean? I'm more of an old school person.
I'm kind of a little bit of both.
If that makes sense, Jimmy.
It does. I'm kind of a mix of both. It depends, like, if the show rolls it out once a week or every couple or five here and there, I'm fine with that. Sometimes I like to binge it, but it depends on like what the show is. Like if it's like behind the whole season, like let's say for NCIS fans, let's say for instance, like,
okay,
you don't have cable, you can't watch all the new episodes. Well, if you're behind the season, then drop it all at once because you're watching on streaming and okay, it is all old episodes. It's not like, hey, this is new, where it's because it's still on cable television. Holy crap, cable still exists.
Yeah. Yeah, it hasn't gone away just yet, which a lot of the streaming services are doing bundles now, so it won't be long before we're doing some form of cable anyway. So we'll see.
So
exactly.
Yeah, it's like, oh. So my last few questions for you are, who's your favorite author and why?
Mm. I feel like this answer always changes because I'm always finding new authors. I started reading late. Not because I couldn't read. It's just, to be honest, I didn't like to read when I was a kid. Like, and I think that's because I used to have to read a lot of old, like when you're in school, they make you read all these books that are educational and classics, but you can't relate to them, or the English in it isn't how we speak now. So like, I just wasn't comprehending a lot of those books. So I got into reading later in life, and now I love reading. I mean, I don't read, but I love reading. So I'm always finding new books and new authors to read. But currently right now, I would say my favorite author would be Joshua Metcalf. He is a, I don't know if you'd call his book self-help, but they usually tend to be in the self-help section. Just because like I was saying earlier about my books, his books tend to be parables. So he'll tell a story. He has a book called Pound the Stone, which is about this kid who had anger issues and he loves basketball. So he gets kicked off the team, and on the way he came back on the team, if he goes through this program that teaches him all these different life lessons, but he has to get a sponsor. So he ends up getting a sponsor and he ends up going through these different life lessons. Perfect book. Well, I shouldn't say it's a perfect book. I don't think anything's perfect, but it's a great book. I love it because inside the book, you get to witness all these instances of what he goes through, and it helps you understand like, oh, maybe I should think this way. Oh, I can see that. That in fact, he has another book called Shine in the Dark, which is all about doing the work that we all should be doing when there's nobody else around. So we've said it multiple times on this episode, I have two books out, right? I'm currently writing my next books. I'm in this office anywhere from 40 to 60 hours a week doing everything I need to do to get my books ready. No one's seeing me do this stuff. I mean, yeah, my family comes here every so often, but they don't see what I do, not all the time. So I have to constantly do this work while there's nobody around. And in that book, there is a character there is a boy who is learning how to tightrope walk because of his grandfather. And he's having to learn how to do all this work and how to do it while there's nobody around. And he's the kind of kid who likes the attention. So it's just a very good book. And he has some other books too that are in the similar vein of just him. He tells you a story, but there's all these different life lessons while you read it. Like, I feel like his most famous book is Chop Wood, Carry Water, which is about this individual who wants to be a samurai archer. I didn't know that was a thing, but it is. So he wants to be a samurai archer. So he has to go and be with all these mentors and gurus, and he's trying to learn how to be an archer, but they're teaching him all these life lessons as well, where he literally has to chop wood and carry water and do all these different other things. So I just love what he does. I love the way he writes. Phenomenal individual. I've talked to him online through email a couple of times, and he's just a really good guy. And yeah, so he's my favorite author right now, and that's why.
I have to say that my favorite current author right now is the one I'm reading at the moment, which I can't say. It's like sending Bloody Mary into the mirror three times. Holy crap! I'm kidding.
Oh, let's not do that.
One thing I was going to piggyback off of there real quick is I like what you said that there's many there are a lot of authors that I didn't like reading as a kid either. Let us say my school district made me read some stuff that I wouldn't say was age appropriate for. Maybe a little bit age appropriate, but there was like some instances where, like, I was in special education growing up, and they were making me read something much lower than my reading level, and so basically, while everyone else was reading a book like this, like a pamphlet, I'm in seventh grade. Uh-huh. My special education teacher challenged me and say, "Jimmy, you should read something that is more of your reading level. If you don't understand something, come to me, come to your mom." I think Google was around back then. I didn't have my first phone then at the moment. Small phones didn't exist back then. Gee, I feel like I'm old. But basically, she helped me get into liking reading because she basically said, "Who cares what the school district is making us read?" And it's like, go challenge yourself to read this or whatever book you want to read. And so I chose Harry Potter because, I always joke with my mom because she's like, "I can get into those books or the movies." And it's like, "How are we related?" I was like, "How dare you?" I was like, "I can share the same roof with you." I feel like, "What the hell's wrong with you?" I always have right. on TV. They're on TV in the summer. I'm like, "How can you not like Harry Potter?" It's like, I just thought they were all overhyped.
Yeah.
Overhyped. And so when she started reading me those books, she couldn't get into them. I was like, "I'm going to take it upon myself and read it."
Huh?
And I admit that there was a lot of things that were from the movies, from the books. But I was like, "Well, do I want to see a 5-hour movie or do I want to see a 2.5-hour movie?" Because when you just drag something in, it's like, "I admit I can't do it." But honestly, my favorite author is the current one I'm reading, and I just think.
Mm-hmm.
And this one other book that I agree with you that the old literature from. That they had us reading in schools were not my favorite. I'm not going to get into one of the names because it will just bring nightmares for me.
Right.
It had this very graphic scene, and I don't mean like battle scene because I know like, "Oh, this is make believe or this is just part of my imagination." Mm-hmm. But this one got like so. I'll just say. Not even graphic, like sex graphic. This was like very, very like full blown for like. I mean, this book I was reading in high school, but I don't think, in my opinion, English special education class should have been reading this, and because like for my thing, it's like on an instant replay. So when I had to read after, it kind of stuck in my
head
many weeks, and I had nightmares every single night about it. It's like, "Oh," and it's like bad for the character in the book going through this, but it was just really awful. And like, okay, and it's like, "I'm never reading this book ever again." I'm not gonna name the book because maybe some fans really, really like the book, and I am not trying to. Books, but this book, it's stayed in my mind for weeks, so I can't say it out loud, or I'm just gonna bring it back up in my real of memories in my brain. It took me a while to get rid of that, and I'm like, give me the heebie jeebies. So, my last two questions for you is my last three questions for you is, where can people find your books? Buy them, purchase. Are they in libraries as well?
Absolutely. My books, you can go to Amazon, Target, Walmart, Barnes & Nobles, Books A Million, anywhere on Washington State, anywhere. But most major retailers have my books online, my first one and my second one. My first book are in a fair amount of libraries on the East Coast. Can't sit here and say every library have, but it never hurts to ask your library if they can get a copy. I'm sure they would be more than happy to if they have space on their bookshelf. And in fact, also, if you would like a signed copy, please head to my website, www.jayreace.com, J-A-Y-R-E-A-C-E. And I can get you a signed copy.
My next question for you is, where can people follow you and learn more about who you are and what you do?
I've mentioned earlier, I'm on TikTok the most, assuming TikTok's going to be around much longer, but I'm on TikTok the most. I'm also on Instagram, and I have an author page on Facebook. All of them are I am Jay Reese. That is my handle on all play. Oh, and I'm also on Twitter. I am Jay Reese.
Or X. I'm sorry for those people who like the platform. I mean, I don't hate it necessarily, but I just hate the name of it. That's my only.
It's such an odd. Like, if he wanted to rebrand it and rename it, fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm like, X. You couldn't think of like an actual name. You just want to name it X. I don't understand why. Maybe there's an article said why he chose X, because I got to understand why he chose X. There has to be a meaning behind it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm like, but X. You couldn't come up. You couldn't just like use AI to come up with a creative brand name. Like, really?
Something. I don't know. It's just, it is what it is.
And my last question for you is, who's your favorite podcast and why? And feel free not to say me. See what I did there?
I can't say the Crazy Fitness Guy. Oh man, okay. Well, let me think of something.
But you want to.
All right. Well, yes, I hold Jimmy in great regard. Jimmy is definitely one of my favorite podcasts. But let me give some shine to another podcast. There's two that I hold like very high. I listen to a lot of different podcasts. But the first one will be the Growing in Marriage podcast. Even if you're not married and you are in a relationship or you'd like to be in a relationship, there's nothing wrong with listening to this podcast. Rich and Deanna, they are a wonderful couple. They have been married for 20 plus years. They share their experiences, and I'm talking about like their real experiences. Like, this is the made up stuff. They share the ins and out of their relationship. They have two wonderful children. Well, they're adults now, but they keep it where they don't talk about the kids. They talk about how they work together, everything they do. So if you are a person who is looking for somebody and you want to be happy, healthy, and learn how to communicate, I suggest listening to them. It's a wonderful podcast. Growing in Marriage is wonderful. I've recommended it to anybody and everybody. My other favorite podcast would have to be the Plant-Based News podcast. They are kind of like Jimmy. They are how should I describe it? Anything in the world of plant-based is what they cover. Anything from the laws to health and fitness to new studies that are coming out. I just find them. And as I said at the beginning, I'm vegan. So anything about helping the world, helping people, and helping animals, that tends to be my heart spot right there. And that show covers all of that. So, yeah. Those would be my two favorites. Outside of Jimmy, of course.
I think my two favorites would be Lewis Howes, The School of Greatness, and the other one is called Braving the Elements Part.
Oh, yeah, I like that one. I've heard that one.
I was on the Braving the Elements podcast. I got to meet Janet Varney. It was Korra on Legend of Korra. She was actually on the show too. So take a listen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, someone actually was on my show not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Who actually met Lewis Howes and was like, "How dare you?" It's like, I didn't get an opportunity to ask him, but I was like, "Help me up! I want to meet him too."
Right? Oh my god! Like, he does those conferences every year, and I would love to go to one of his conferences. I just haven't been able to put space in my calendar for it yet, but I'm gonna get there.
Yeah. Definitely. I only get to see one of his conferences too. Right now, just the pricing is like just high for my budget at the moment.
Yeah, that's the other part of it.
People's like, "You don't have, you seem to have a good budget at the moment." It's like, "No, I don't. I admit that. Orly. Every time I'm paying a bill at my business, I'm like, I'm always reminded." And then, like, some other people remind me, and it's like, "Trust me, hasn't slipped my mind." But anyway, thank you for being on the show, and I hope I didn't take up too much of your time. I was enjoying,
of course,
having you on the show.
Oh, I enjoy being here. I'm just sorry that it took me so long to come back. You know, it took me a while to write the next book. So hopefully, like I said, the next one will be out next year. I'll be back within a year.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that because I love having you on my show.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. I love being here, man.
Well, I look forward to staying in touch with you, and I'll let you know when this episode drops. And if you stay a little bit after, I'll tell you exactly when it will drop. And I'll also give you a sneak peek of
those
along the show.
Ooh, yay.
And tell no one else. I'll see you in a few minutes. So that's all So that's all the time we have for today. If you like it, please subscribe, share, leave a review, let me know how we're doing. In the meantime, if you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at Jimmy Co Speaker on Facebook and Instagram at Jimmy Co Speaker, or Jimmy Co Speak on Twitter or X, whatever you want to go by. And you can follow Crazy Fitness Guy at Crazy Fitness Guy on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I'm just going to leave it as that. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. And I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast / Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. In the meantime, peace.
Thanks for tuning into Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us be discovered by more people all over the world. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you get notified of every new show. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media at Crazy Fitness Guy and follow Jimmy Clare at Jimmy Clare Speaker or Jimmy Clare Speak. While you wait for another brand new episode, please go check out crazyfitnessguy.com. Check out the latest blog posts, events, sales, and more. Hope to see you again next time.
Hydro Flask is the best water bottle in my opinion because it keeps my water nice, cold, and refreshing throughout the day. And yes, I do drink a lot of water throughout the day, so even though it stays colder for longer, I still like having a reusable water bottle like Hydro Flask because it just sits on my desk and reminds me, "Hey, you gotta drink water." And Hydro Flask, it keeps it cold longer, which makes me want to drink more water throughout the day because, you know, there's nothing worse than drinking warm water. Go to hydroflask.com and use the link in the show notes. And yes, I do get a small commission from Hydro Flask, so which also helps support the show. So tell them I sent you. Use the link below. And yeah, check out hydroflask.com for more information.